Thank you, brother, for reading that scripture for us. That is actually the text of this lesson. So if you would keep a place there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, we'll come back to that section a few times and discuss some of the things that are contained in there. Throughout history, and throughout all of mankind, there has not been anyone who has evaded death, save for two people. That is Enoch and Elijah, whom God took to be with him. But despite those two people, no one throughout all humanity has been able to evade death. Not even Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He too had to face death. In fact, even the ones that when Jesus was on this earth doing his work that he raised from the dead, even they faced death eventually. And so, with that understanding, we can see and understand and grasp the fact that death really is an integral part of the human existence. It's not something that we can get away from. It's something that is a part of what makes us human. To die is to be human. And so it is inescapable. It is inevitable. There will, however, be a few lucky ones who would be still alive when Jesus returns. And the scripture tells us when Jesus returns and those who are still alive during that time, they will simply be changed and will meet Jesus in the air. And so, naturally, with this kind of understanding, and this kind of view of death, we can understand how that death has become this ultimate enemy for all of mankind. It is the ultimate foe for many people. The dictionary definition of death is this. It starts off by saying that death is the act of dying. Now, that's not very helpful as far as the definition goes, but it continues. It says, the end of life. The total and permanent cessation of all vital functions of an organism. The act of dying, the end of life, the total and permanent cessation of all vital functions of an organism. And so, with that definition, I'm sure you can agree that it's easy to see why we view death, and many people view death, the way that we do. That it is the end of the road. That it is the conclusion of all matters. That when someone dies, that's the end of their story. And with that kind of a view of death, many people have taken that approach and applied it to the way that they live their lives. They've applied that understanding and that theology to the foundation of their lives here on this earth. And so you have people saying things like, get rich or die trying. And really what that means is that this life is all there is, and so I'm going to try and improve my circumstances here in this life, even if it means that I have to die to do so. Well, what about he who dies with the most toys wins? Again, it's just basically the concept that I'm going to gather and amass all of the wonderful things that this earth has to offer. And a modern one which is YOLO. It stands for you only live once. Now, fundamentally, you can understand how that the usage of that is just so incorrect. But you can see that with that definition, you come to these kinds of conclusions. You come to a point where people believe that you only live once, and so as a result of that, you might as well make that life the best life that you can. Enjoy yourself and have fun. Well, what if I told you that even the Apostle Paul agrees with these statements? The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 32, agrees that if this life is the only thing that there is, if death is the end, then, of course, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Now, we know that here in this this passage, 1 Corinthians 15, 32, Paul is addressing some of these very issues that the Corinthians were dealing with. They had this famous saying, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die, based off of this understanding that death is the final end, that there is no resurrection. But this morning, I would like for just a moment to visit and talk about the scriptural view of death. And to do that, we would have to begin with Jesus' perspective on death. And so turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 and 19. While he was saying these things to them, a synagogue official came and bowed down before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. Jesus got up and began to follow him, and so did his disciples. Drop down to verse 23. When Jesus came into the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd in noisy disorder, he said, leave, for the girl has not died, but is asleep. And they began laughing at him. But when the crowd had been sent out, he entered and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. Now, I want you just to think about this scenario for just a moment. Here you have Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator, the one who all things were created through and by and for, as John chapter 1 speaks about. And so Jesus, if there is anyone who knows whether someone is dead or not, knows the true reality of things, it would be Jesus. And so Jesus, in this situation, tells these people the truth, the reality of what's going on. He says, no, she's not dead, but merely asleep. And they laugh at him. I mean, try to think of that from God's perspective. It's like, I know what's really happening here, and yet you are mocking me, laughing at me. Jesus says, she is not dead, but merely asleep. Now look at the Apostle Paul's teaching on the matter. And to do that, let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll read those verses together again. Beginning in verse 13. The apostle says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not forgive, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And so right up front, we notice something, that the Apostle Paul refers to death in the same way that Jesus did. He uses this word, asleep. And he says that, you know, really, it's important to view death in this way, because he doesn't want those who are followers of Christ, those who are Christians, those who are disciples of Jesus, to grieve like the rest of the world who has no hope. You see, because the rest of the world views death as the final end, the conclusion of it all, the end of the matter. But the Apostle Paul says, don't be uninformed. He says, view death as merely being asleep. What's more important is that he says, for the follower of Christ, not only should we view death as being asleep, but it is actually a cause of rejoicing if our loved ones have fallen asleep in Christ. Now we have to ask the question, is the Apostle Paul speaking here metaphorically? Is he using some kind of a euphemism? Or is he being figurative? You know, because people do that sometimes when you're speaking about death and you don't really want to say the word death, or you want to soften its meaning. You say things like, well, this person has passed away. They are resting in peace. They've moved on. And so is that what the Apostle Paul is doing here in these verses? Is he merely using a euphemism to describe death? Well, I believe the answer is no. I think that the Apostle Paul is actually being very literal here with his description of death. And the reason why I say that is because of verse 15. See, in verse 15 he says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. And so the apostle is contrasting those who are alive with those who are asleep. Another reason is that it is connected with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in verse 14. And so just as Jesus rose or died and then rose again, we too will rise from our sleep or our death. And so Jesus' resurrection really serves as evidence of our own nature. The Apostle Paul goes on in verses 16 and 17, and he says that those who are asleep won't actually miss out on the blessing of Christ's return. In fact, he says that they will be the first ones who will be raised or woken up from this sleep. And so that's further emphasis that the Apostle Paul is really talking about those who are dead as being asleep, a literal state. Now, I have to be clear that the Apostle Paul here in these verses is not teaching or talking about some kind of a rapture. you know, like it is taught or used in the sense that it is today. He is not teaching and proposing that when Christ returns, some will be caught up in the air and others will be left on this earth for 1,000 years, where they get a second chance to try and you know, be good and win God's grace. The scripture is very clear that when Christ returns, that will be the final end of this physical universe, as is spoken of in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 to 7, and also verses 10 through to 12. And so really, we're not talking about a rapture. Rather, what we're talking about when Jesus returns is a reunion with all those who have fallen asleep with their master and their king. And so Paul then goes and finishes off this section with verse 18. And he says, because of all of this information that I've just given to you, because of this truth and this understanding that death is not the final end, it is merely a sleep, because of that information, you need to remind one another. You need to remind each other that death is but sleeping. You need to remind one another that death is not the final end, that it is not the end of life. You need to remind each other that there will be this great resurrection, this great waking up, and this great reunion with Jesus in the air. You also need to remind one another that this blessing of this reunion is not something that every person has. It is something that is special to those who are followers of Christ. Everyone indeed will be woken up, but only those who are in Christ will be raised to eternal life, will be raised and will participate in this great reunion with their Savior. And so, as a result of all of that information, remind each other and comfort each other. The Apostle Paul then goes into a new section. And in this section, he uses asleep and sleeping and night and darkness and light and day in so many different ways and senses. And he makes a play on those words and uses them interchangeably. And I think this section really kind of falls into what Peter spoke about when he said that the Apostle Paul spoke about some things that are very hard to understand. And so look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that's the next section, from verse 1 through to verse 11. He says there, "Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you also are doing." And so the first thing that the Apostle Paul starts to speak about here is that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And that is in reference to the statement that Jesus made in Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 to 44, when Jesus speaks about this coming day of the Lord, and he says that it will be like when a thief breaks into a house, it will be at an hour that you do not know and you do not think he will come. The Apostle Paul then introduces this concept of night and darkness. And really the first use of this is the literal use of that, literal use of night and darkness, meaning evening, in verse 2. And then in verse 4, he uses it in the sense that it is the opposite of enlightenment or being informed. But he also contrasts that with the day of the Lord and righteousness. And really what he's saying is that Christians are not misinformed and not unenlightened and not caught in sin so that the day of the Lord or righteousness will overtake them. Then in verse 5, he says that Christians are sons of light or day, basically saying that we are children of righteousness and God and not children of sin and Satan. And then in verse 6, he uses sleep in a different sense. but I don't believe in this verse 6, he is speaking about sleep in reference to death, because it is being contrasted with being alert and being sober. And so it is really used in a figurative sense or a spiritual sense. And he is saying, don't be unaware, don't be blinded, don't be preoccupied with this world. Don't be inattentive. Then in verse 7, he uses it in a literal sense, the sense of resting, but playing on those words. Again, those who are unaware, those who are blinded, those who are preoccupied are the ones who are in night, the ones who are in darkness, those who are walking in the darkness. And then in verse 8, he says that since we are of the day, that is to say that we are children of light, or children of God, he then says, let us be sober, let us put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet, the hope of salvation. Verses 9 through 10, he then switches back to sleep as death, and awake as alive, saying that regardless if we are dead or alive, we will live together with him. And then he finishes off this section as well, saying, therefore, because of all of this information, again, that I have shared with you, encourage one another, share this information, and build one another up, which is similar to the previous section, chapter 4, verse 18, where he says, because of this information, remind each other and encourage each other. And so the overwhelming message from the Apostle Paul is that death is not the end. It is but a sleep. At this point, I should probably say that while I am saying that death is like falling asleep, we're not saying that, you know, when a person dies, that you drift off into this unconscious state, something like being asleep. Because we know that the scriptures teach that the soul, once it sheds this physical body, experiences things in the afterlife. You know, we look at passages like Luke chapter 16 that talks about Hades and paradise and the place of torment. And so we can see from those verses that once a person physically falls asleep, the soul encounters things in the next life. And so, when we read verses like these, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 18, and chapter 5, 1 to 11, we're left with the question, what is your condition? We have to ask ourselves, are you asleep or are you awake? And of course, when we say that, we're speaking in the spiritual sense. Are you unaware? Are you blinded? Are you preoccupied with this world, with darkness? Or are you alert and sober like those who walk in the light, those of the day? Or maybe when you read verses like this, you kind of pass by them and forget about them because it forces you to think about the afterlife. Well, the lesson from the Apostle Paul is that you shouldn't avoid thinking about the afterlife because that is the point of it all. This life, yes, it is like a vapor. Yes, it comes to an end, but that is just the end of the physical part. We continue on afterward. Or maybe it is that you deal with some sorrow, some pain at the passing of a loved one. Well, again, these verses encourage us and remind us that death is but a sleep. We're encouraged to know that our loved ones who have fallen asleep in Christ will be raised again, will be woken up, and then there will be a great reunion after that waking up. But really, the true comfort and encouragement and reminder comes from Jesus Christ, where he says in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are those, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds will follow them. And so we take this final encouragement from the Lord. My voice has just suddenly gone away. We take this final encouragement from the Lord in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, understanding that death is but a sleep. Understanding that there will come a time where these loved ones who we care so much about, who have died, who have fallen asleep, will be raised again and we will get to see them again. There will be a great reunion. And so there is no need, even though there is a momentary sadness because of the missing, the longing for the departure of them in this physical world, there is no need to be sorrowful. There is a need to be rejoicing. Because the Apostle Paul says that if they have died in Christ, then there is a rest for them. They have fallen asleep. And they are awaiting this great reunion with the Lord. That is the end of this lesson. But we would say to you that if there is anyone who is struggling either with dealing with death, struggling with seeing death as what it truly is, merely being asleep, let us help you by showing you some of God's words that speak about death as being asleep. That speak about death not as this ultimate enemy, but merely a stage in the process. Let us help you understand that there will be a great awakening, a great reunion. Of course, throughout this lesson, I've also alluded to and mentioned the fact that that great reunion is only reserved for those who are in Christ. Only for Christians, only for disciples of Jesus. If you are not one of those disciples, one of Jesus' followers, yes, you'll be awoken. But the sad news is that your waking from your sleep will be to eternal destruction as opposed to eternal life with the Father in heaven. And so if you have not made that decision, we encourage you to do that. And if there is anything that we can help you with this morning, please come as we stand and as we sing.